tonight. And in this passage of scripture, we'll stick around right here. And we'll start reading in verse 26 and go down through the end of the chapter when we do read. So we'll stay right there in that. But as we were last night in Bible college, we were going over the Old Testament. As we were doing the Old Testament class, our Old Testament survey, we was looking at the patriarchs. We've gotten past the creation stage, and we've moved into the patriarchs. And the very first patriarch that we were introduced to was Job. And so we lumped Job in with the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth, Joseph. So we lumped in Job in that. And last night we talked about Job's suffering, and that kind of got my mind going and all this about the suffering that Job endured. And there was a phrase that I had wrote down that it said that our suffering, if we surrender, will bring a cleansing. And if we surrender to God in our suffering, it brings about a cleansing. And I was asked to, I don't know that I was asked to explain it, but I did explain it. And I did so using a situation in my own life where me and my wife went through a very difficult time, and how God used that to reset the priorities in our life, reset some of the things that that we had been emphasizing and putting importance on, and made us realize that some of those things weren't very important. I need somebody to help me, okay? And I realize that a lot of times we don't want to do an analysis when we're suffering. When we're having to go through issues and when we're having to go through problems, the last thing we want to do is go through an evaluation of our life. But the fact of the matter is that suffering is a way that God, it is something that God uses to prepare us. It's something that God uses to encourage us. Say, how is that impossible? Well, if you've ever been through suffering and had God show up, I need somebody to help me right there. It's very encouraging to know that you can trust God no matter what's going on in your life. And these type of things God uses these type of things. And of course, the question is always asked, is suffering a result of sin? And there are things that there is suffering that is a result of sin. We call that consequences, right? We call that consequences, and we've taught that to our youngins, or we have been taught that. We might not teach it to our youngins, but we have been taught that, and some of us do teach it to our youngins, that there are consequences to actions. But not all suffering is a result of sin, and Job shows us that. Job proves that to us. But back to that thought of surrendering in our struggles. Because the fact is that the sufferings and the things that you and I are permitted and allowed to go through, and you and I face in our life, they should have the effect on us that they bring us closer to God instead of driving us away from God. And the problem is the surrender part in there, I believe. When you and I surrender in our struggles and we say, God, I can't do this. If this gets done, it's only you. That is when God does his greatest work. Let me just put it that way, all right? But we came to this one passage of scripture, and I want to read the verses. And, of course, verse number 28, many of you know that verse, and we'll kind of hang out at it for a little bit. But this verse, we're going to start off in verse number 26. And it says, Paul writing to the church here at Rome, and he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse number 28 is one of our favorite verses as a Christian. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. I almost preached on that. God's purpose in our life is for us to be conformed to the image of his son. Is everybody all right? We like to major on the I'm not perfect. But God wants us to be like his son who is perfect. So, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Somebody ought to run a lap right there. That didn't get near enough amens right there. If you're saved in this building and you know anything, you don't know anything about justification, you need to come to the Bible college or at least get in a Sunday school class, all right? But if you don't know about justification, you're missing out on some of the greatest joy you'll ever have in your salvation. Justification can be looked at as just as if I never sinned. That's how God, he puts that on us when the called receive him. When we receive him, we are justified. And in God's eyes, it is just as if we never sinned. Some of y'all get that. By the time you go to sleep and it's going to wake you up, you're going to be up all night shouting over there and your wife's going to wonder, what's wrong? No, she'll be shouting and you'll be wondering, what's going on with her? And whom he justified, the Bible says, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, y'all want to say amen on that one, eh? God be for us, who can be against us? I wonder if Paul almost had the thought, well, maybe I'm scaring everybody with all of these doctrines I'm throwing out here in Romans up to this point. Told them that they all are under sin in chapter number and 9 coming up. I told them that they all have sin back in chapter number 3. I told them there's a wages of sin back in chapter number 6. I wonder if they didn't get a little bit scared and thinking God might be after me. But Paul said, wait a minute, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's working all things together for our good, who can be against us? That's good stuff. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. Why didn't y'all shout on that one? If he was willing to give up the greatest gift, then what's to keep him from giving us any gift through his son? That's good stuff. Y'all missing out. Y'all missing out on some amens, all right? When I touch my ear, y'all say amen, okay? Y'all got it? I try to help y'all. I really do. I try to help you. I know it's difficult. All right. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Y'all getting it now? I ain't have to put my hand up there. We kind of learned something about that justified word right there. Amen. Because now we understand it. There's nobody that can charge us with anything because God has justified us. Remember, just as if we never sinned. That means the accuser of the brethren, the adversary, if you will, cannot come before God and speak against you because God has justified you if you're saved. Hey, I told y'all, it's going to hit you tonight. You're going to run around the building, all right? Here we go, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? He answers it. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Somebody better shout. And what he's saying here is the very one that can condemn us is the very one that died for us. The only one, let me do it this way. The only one that can condemn us is the one that died for us, that has risen and lives again. Everybody all right? Who's sitting on the throne beside God? Glory! Who's making intercession for you? Man. Wow. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. All what things? In tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, in sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, I need somebody that's going through it right now to say amen right here. Hey, whatever you're going through, you are more than conqueror through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man, I'm going to tell you what. If them verses don't comfort you, I don't know what will. I mean, every time I read them verses, if I need to feel good. You know, how many of y'all remember going to the pep rallies? Do they even have them anymore? Do they have them for the football teams and the schools and all this? Back in the day, y'all remember going to the pep rallies and the bonfires. Of course, I think that's what probably ended some of the pep rallies. But we remember going to the pep rallies and the bonfires and beating on the car with the sledgehammers and all this stuff. I remember doing that. I ain't that old, all right? Some of y'all are way older than me. All right. Sorry. But anyhow. I remember doing these things, and I remember, man, we'd get fired up, man, you just ready to run off the bus and just kill somebody, which we didn't do that, all right? It was all in, go out and play football, but you get the point. But when I need something to really lift my spirits, come on now. This right here, woo, I like to just roll over in the Bible right there and just sit a minute. And just read about how good God is. Do you know the Bible in verse number 28, it says, and we know. I told you earlier that I think that the problem of most of us in our suffering is that we're not willing to surrender. We're not willing to surrender and say, God, whatever it is that you are after in me, whatever it is that will work to perfect me, and by that word perfect, of course I mean mature. God, whatever it is that you, whatever work you are trying to do through me in this time of suffering, God, I'm yours. But here's the thing. We're not surrendering to an unknown. Y'all stay with me. We're not surrendering to an unknown. The thought is when we surrender, we're surrendering to the unknown, but we're really not surrendering to the unknown. I want to give you some things that we know. Is that all right? At verse 28, there's some things that we know. Verse number 28 is where we're going to start. And we know by verse number 28 that my life has a divine purpose. I'm going to say it again. My life, listen, your life has a divine purpose. No matter what you're going through, your life has a divine purpose. In other words, God has a purpose for your life, and He is going to work that purpose in your life no matter what your circumstances are right now. There's a divine purpose for your life. Say, well, preacher, you don't understand my circumstances. Preacher, what I'm going through is bad. I know. And this is what the Bible says. And we know that all things, it didn't say all good things. It didn't say, all, is everybody with me? All great things. It didn't say all things that we accept. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. To who? To them that love God. To them who are the called or saved according to His purpose. We know that God is going to work all things for our good. Somebody got to help me. Now that's easy to surrender to when you know that everything that you're going through, no matter how difficult, how ugly, how bad it is, somehow, some way, God is going to work it for your good. Now, if you think that you are exempt from having to go through trials and tribulations and afflictions and suffering, then you would be the first Christian. But the Bible gives us so many examples of Christians, and the one that we all know and I use all the time is Joseph. Joseph was in a pit. Joseph was a slave. Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Joseph ended up in prison. Joseph was forgotten about. And then Joseph went to the palace. Joseph ended up on the throne, second in command. And Joseph said, though you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. There's nothing in Joseph's life that you and I would want to go through. But yet God used all the bad in his life to bring him to his purpose, which he said was to save much people alive. That's how God works. I know I can trust God. I can surrender to God in this trial. Why? Because I know that God is going to work all things together for my good. It might not be on my timeline. That's the problem most of us have. That's the problem most of us have. It's not that we don't believe God can do it. God just ain't doing it on our timetable. God ain't punching the clock for us like we think He needs to be. God, I don't know why you're taking off today, but I need you today. God, I don't know where you at. I don't know if you're on vacation right now, but it's time to get back off vacation. Come on, y'all help me. Reason being is because we want it, and we want it right now. What's that, J.G. Wentworth? You want your money, and you want it right now. Don't be playing with me. Y'all know that. Yeah. Hey, y'all can probably sing it. Somebody sing it for me. No, don't. All right. We'll keep the Holy Ghost in here as long as we can, all right? But the point is that you can surrender to God. Why? Because there's some things we know. We know that there's a divine purpose for your life. We know that there's a divine purpose for your life. And no matter what your circumstances are, His work, what God's doing on your behalf, is working all those bad things together with all those good things that you don't thank Him for. He's working all them bad things and all them good things that you don't acknowledge Him for. He's working all them bad things that you are emphasizing and all them good things that you've taken for granted. And He's working them together for our good. That's the thing. I need somebody to help me. We know that. Why do we know that? God's word says it. And we know all things, that all things. I want to tell you something else that we know according to this scripture that I thought was pretty good. Not only does my life have divine purpose, but my life has, check this out, divine prayers. I don't know that I've ever, you know, really emphasized this or really just got a grasp of this. But according to verse number 26 and verse number 27, if we read in verse number 26, it says, likewise the Spirit. Does anybody notice that that word is capitalized? That is a direct reference to the Holy Spirit, which we teach and preach around here is God, part of the triune. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is telling us that the Spirit, or God, y'all ain't got it yet, but we getting there. The Spirit, or God, He helps our weaknesses, our infirmities, our weaknesses, our struggles. He helps in our struggles. How does He do that? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We ain't got a clue what we should pray for in our struggle. But the Spirit does. And God prays for you. I need somebody to help me. I mean, I ain't never got a hold of it like this, Miss Julie, but God, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. Things that I can't say. Things that I don't even know I need to pray about. The Holy Spirit is interceding in my life to the Father and praying for me. Y'all hold on a minute. Woo! Right? I mean, how awesome is that? That He is praying for me. He is praying. Hey, Jesus told Peter, He said, man, I've been praying for you. And the work didn't stop. Jesus may have went on and He may have ascended to glory, but He sent a comforter, and that comforter is doing the same thing that Jesus did for His disciples. He is praying for us. Man, I can surrender to God. Why can I surrender to God? Because there's a divine purpose in my life, and God is working all things together for my good. But there are divine prayers. God is praying for me. I need somebody. Y'all better help me. Y'all call up here wanting me to pray for y'all. Hey, I got one better than that. There's one praying for you a lot bigger and better than I am. He's a lot closer. I need somebody to help. He's got a lot better relationship than I do. And He's praying. He's interceding in my weakness. When I don't know what to pray and I don't know how to pray because the struggle and the burden is so heavy, I have one that searcheth my heart, according to verse number 27. He knows my heart. He searcheth my heart, and He is interceding for me. Oh, make an intercession for me in my weakness. Oh, listen to this. And in my unknown. In my infirmities and in my unknown. For the Bible says, for we know not what we should pray. He's praying for me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why it is that we're so afraid to surrender our life to God. Why is it? Why are we so afraid to say, God, here I am, knowing that God has a divine purpose for our life and He's going to work all things together for our good, knowing that God, there are divine prayers that are going up for you and I. But that's not all. this is like a commercial. That's not all. Not only do we see that my life has a divine purpose and my life has divine prayers, but my life has a divine position. Man, I like this. The Bible says in verse number 29, for who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Can I tell you this? From the beginning to the end, he's covered it all in them two verses. Those of us that he did foreknow, he did predestinate, and he did call. And those he called, he did justify. And those he justified in a future work, he will glorify. Oh. Say, well, preacher, does that mean that some of us are going to heaven and some of us ain't got a chance? Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, God is not willing that any should perish. According to the Bible, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. I like it. Y'all like it? I like it. I like them verses like that. So what does he mean right here? Those he did foreknow in Christ. He did predestinate in Christ. And called in Christ. And justified in Christ. And glorified in Christ. My life has a divine position. The moment, y'all ain't even called it, but I'm going to help you, all right? All this takes place when we get saved. Paul wrote it in another book like this. We are already seated in the heavenlies. So, as far as God's concerned, this glorification is only going to be our body. We're already glorified. A position already in heaven. I'm going to walk over here and say it. My life has a divine position. No matter what, listen, I can surrender my life to God in my struggles. I can surrender my life to God in my difficulties. I can surrender my life to God in my blessings. Why? Because there's a divine purpose for my life. There's divine prayers for my life, and there is a divine position. I am already seated in the heavenlies. Y'all have heard me say it like this. I could swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk and shoot the devil in the eye with a water pistol. Why? Because I can't go to hell. Say, preacher, I don't know that you can make that claim. But yet John tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What kind of joy can be found if we worried about losing our salvation over every little thing that we do wrong? The same writer who said that thing, he said, if we say we have no sin in us, we lie. And the truth is not in us. The fact of the matter is that God knew very well exactly what he was getting when he got you. Which, if you think about it, is amazing grace. But I got a divine position. And no matter what comes at me, listen, even if it's death, I got a divine position. Even if my suffering goes to my death and goes to the grave, I got a divine position that cannot be taken away from me. And let me tell you something. I'm figuring that what's beyond is a lot better than what we're dealing with right here. So if I have to go over there, hey, the only goodness I ever get, the only greatness I ever see might be on the other side, but hey, I'm already there by position. So I can surrender my life to God now. Oh, I need somebody. Y'all got to help me. I think it was Paul that said it even in this chapter. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, what I'm having to go through now, Paul said, it ain't even compared to the glory that I'm going to receive, the glory that I'm going to see. It's going to be revealed in me. My life has a divine purpose. Number two, my life has divine prayers. My life has divine position. And then lastly, my life has divine promises. I told them when I went through my difficult time, I laid on the floor and I claimed the promises of God. I prayed, I begged God, I surrendered myself to God, and I prayed, trusting the promises of God. So I can surrender. You can surrender your life. Why? Because you have divine purpose. God's going to work all things together for your good. You have divine prayers. God is praying for you. You have a divine position. You can't lose. You can't lose. If you're saved, you can't lose. You have divine promises while you're here. What's the divine promises? God promises partnership. Verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I like it. If God's for me, who really can be against me? Do you understand that God's for you? I hope you do by this point in the sermon, all right? But if you don't, God, that same God that you don't think's for you, he's praying for you. That same God that you don't think for you, he's working all things together for your good. That same God that you don't think is for you, he's already positioned you. He's already placed you in the heavenlies. He's already reserved a spot, a place in heaven for you, according to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Those who are kept by the power of God, by the way, not our power. He has a place reserved in heaven. An inheritance, the Bible says. Reserved in heaven for me. You know what? You know what an inheritance is? Is everybody all right? Listen to this. This is pretty cool. I don't know why I'm sharing this with y'all. I ought to put it in a sermon, and I probably will. But if you'll remember, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You can't do anything to inherit something. You don't inherit something because of your work. You inherit something because of who you are. And I have an inheritance in heaven. Not because of what I did. Not because of what I'll do. But because of who I am in him. Y'all, let me move on. Hey, my life has divine promises. Promises of God's partnership. A promise of God's provision. Verse number 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, the greatest gift. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? You know what that tells me? I have a promise that whatever I need, God will supply. So if your struggle is, I don't have this or I don't have that, know this, that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Is everybody with me? That's a pretty good promise. Now, he might not supply you want. You might not get the iPhone 13. But I think if we get down to our basic needs, I believe it was Paul in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 that says with food and raiment, therewith to be content. And if you got food on your table and clothes on your back, You got everything you need. Or a preacher, I need a car. Jesus didn't have one. I need a cell phone. Jesus didn't have one. Oh, is everybody all right? I need a new fishing boat. Jesus didn't even have one. He had to borrow somebody else's. Oh, I need a new house. Jesus didn't even have one. I need a new grave. Jesus had to borrow that. Hey, I need a ride into Jerusalem. Jesus had to borrow a donkey. Everybody all right? The only thing that Jesus ever owned on this earth was you and I. And we are the body. And he's not going to allow his body to suffer. Let me go ahead and help you right here. We are his bride. And I think he'd move hell and high water to make sure that his bride was taken care of. Promises, God's partnership, a promise of God's provision, a promise of God's pardon. Verse number 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have a promise. Let me, y'all ready? I'm going to read it how Paul wrote it in the very first verse of chapter number 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I got a promise of God's pardon. I have a promise of God's position. Verse number 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have a promise of God's position. I can't be separated from him. Jesus Christ the same yet today, yesterday, and what does it say? Y'all help me. Let me get over there. Stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Don't get up and go to the bathroom. You'll miss out on something. I don't know what yet, but you're going to miss out on something if I can find it. It looks like I ain't going to be able to find it. It's Dalton's fault. Oh, I'm getting close. I can feel it. Is everybody all right? Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, I got a promise of God's position. And a promise of God's participation. Verse number 37, nay, in all things, In all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him. Through him. How do I conquer? How do I overcome? How do I get through this? I do it through him. His participation. Tonight, why aren't you surrendered? Say, preacher, that come out of nowhere. I wasn't ready for that one. I know, I liked it. I just want to slide it right in there. Why aren't we surrendered? Why doesn't the average Christian surrender to God knowing that he has a divine purpose for your life and he's going to work all things together for your good, knowing that he's praying for you? Have divine prayers. Same God that loved you and saved you is interceding for you. He's praying for you. Things that you don't even know to pray for. Things that you can't even say. He's praying for you. You have a divine position. No matter how ugly and how bad it gets, you're not going to lose your position. You're covered from now to eternity future. Then we have divine promises all through His Word. And no matter how ugly it gets, He'll not leave us. He'll participate with us. Come on, y'all. Y'all help me. What all would I say? He'll participate with us. He'll partner with us. He'll provide for us. He'll pardon. My goodness. It almost seems like, why wouldn't you surrender to that? Dalton's coming to the piano. Why wouldn't you surrender? Don't act like you have. Don't act like you have if you hadn't. He's going to come to this piano and He's going to play. And I wonder how many of you come gather around the altar. Everybody come, that way we don't know who ain't surrendered. You come do business with God. Why not surrender? Why not surrender? God ain't sending you to Africa. Maybe. We know some things. He's for us. If He's for us, who can be against us? If His purpose for our life is to work all things for our good, my goodness, we can trust Him. His promises, His love for us, our position in Him. Wonder tonight, my people on the altar is praying, just stay where you're at. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, why not? Won't you let me help you tonight? Look at the peace that you can have through your struggles, knowing that Christ is yours. With nobody looking around and heads bowed, if you were to die tonight, sitting where you're sitting at, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to do me a favor. Even if you're on the altar, I want you to just lift your hand up. Nobody's looking around but me. Say, anybody like that, be honest with me tonight. Say, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Just lift your hand right up. You can put it right back down. I just want you to be honest so I know how to end the service. It's only me looking, and I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to aggravate you. I'm not going to point you out. Call you out. Will you be honest with me? Preacher, I do not know. Just lift your hand right up. All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight, Lord. A family. Your body, Lord, Your bride. Lord, with difficulties in each one of our lives. Things that we're having to go through. Things that are bringing weakness in our life and doubt. God, I pray tonight, Lord, we get a hold of some things that we know. God, we know that Your purpose is for my good. You're going to work all things together. The bad, the ugly, the good. God, You're going to work it all together for my good. God, we know that You have divine prayers. God, that You care so much for us, Lord, that You pray, You intercede for us. God, why won't we surrender? Lord, knowing that we have a divine position in You. A divine position in You, Lord. Nothing can separate us. God, we have divine promises. Lord, I pray tonight. Lord, somebody in this auditorium under the sound of my voice will get a hold of this truth tonight. Live this truth the rest of their life. Lord, I can trust You. Lord, help us to surrender every day to your grace, your mercy, your love for us, your purpose for us. God, I pray that you'd use us and use our lives and our difficulties.